St. Mark's Gospel, the Gospel I read from today, is divided into four sections. The first section is called the preparation of the public ministry. It's 13 verses, and it shows us Jesus being baptized and then him going off into the desert to be tempted. The next section is called the mystery of Jesus. It's the second half of the first chapter all the way to the first half of the eighth chapter. And in here, Jesus is revealing the mystery of who he is. He does this through his miracles and his teachings. If Jesus were to show up on day one and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm God," he would have been stoned to death immediately. So he has to kind of slow play his hand. He has to sort of give signs and teachings that make the people start to think, there's something more to this man. And that's what I'd like to do today. I'd like to look at the miracles of this section that lead up to today's gospel, which is having the deaf man hear, and then it culminates with the last miracle, having a blind man see. Because these miracles are not just parlor tricks. He's not just trying to impress the disciples. He's getting them to see a deeper reality. The first miracle in Mark's gospel is the curing of a demoniac. In this miracle, Jesus kind of casually rebukes the demon and says, "Be quiet, get out." And he goes away. Now, what's interesting is how he does it. In the ancient times, and even today, in an exorcism, the exorcist would never speak in his own name. He would be swatted like a fly by the angel that he's trying to get out. You always invoke God, because God is the one who has the power. So the prayers say, "In the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I boom." So I'm not doing it. I'm calling upon a higher authority to help me here. But Jesus doesn't do this. He just says, "Be quiet, go away." And the people notice this. They notice something different about this exorcist. And they say, "He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." So they're like, there's something different about this man. Next, we have the curing of the leper. In Jesus' time, there was no cure for leprosy, and people were exiled because it was understood that this was a communicable disease. So this leper breaks through the crowds, finds Jesus, and begs him, "Please heal me." And Jesus says, "I will do it." Again, who's doing the action? Jesus doesn't invoke God. Jesus doesn't invoke prayer. He says, "I will do it." Well, everybody else would be invoking God. What is Jesus saying? "I myself can do these things by my own power and authority. And if I can do a godly power and authority, what does that make me?" This leads nicely into one of the most shocking miracles, which is the healing of the paralytic. Not because the paralytic was healed, but what happens before that. Jesus says to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." And immediately, people start to challenge Jesus and says, "He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus knows this, so to show that he is the authority to forgive sins, he says to the paralytic, "Pick up your mat, walk, and go home." He does this to show the first miracle, which is the forgiveness of sins. Now, if only God can forgive sins, and Jesus has proven he can forgive sins, that makes him God. So in making this miracle points to the divinity of Jesus Christ. Next, Jesus heals the man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. Now, no work was to be done on the Sabbath. Yet Jesus heals. He does work on the Sabbath. And the scriptures tell us because of this, the Pharisees, in council with the Herodians, want to put Jesus to death for breaking God's commandments. So Jesus replies. He says, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. This is why the Son of Man," which is a divine title, "is Lord," another divine title, "even for the Sabbath." So Jesus is saying, "I have authority over the Sabbath. You believe the Sabbath, rightfully so, to be God-given, and I am saying I have the authority over it. So I am God, because I have authority over something that has come from God." The next miracle is the calming of the storm at sea. In Mark 4, Jesus rebukes the sea and the wind. Very carefully he says, quiet, be still. Well, the disciples respond, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? In Jesus' time, people, in our time today, people worship the earth, right? They worship the elements. So what is Jesus showing here? He's saying these things can't be God because I have authority over them. Just by saying the words, they obeyed me. So don't worship creation, worship the Creator. And Jesus is showing he's the Creator by showing his power and authority over the elements. In the next chapter, Jesus raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now I want to compare that to what Elisha did in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings 17, the prophet Elisha raises the widow's son from the dead. But look at what happens there. In verse 21, Elisha prays. He says, O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elisha. So Elisha's not the one doing it. He's interceding on behalf of God for this widow and her son. Now compare this to Mark's gospel. In Mark's gospel, Jesus says, little girl, I say to you, arise. And she rises from the dead. So Jesus is showing that he has power over life and death. Only God has power over life and death. So if Jesus is doing a divine action, that makes him a divine person. In chapter 7, we have the curing of the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. Now she and her daughter are Greeks. They're Gentiles. They're non-covenantal people. A prophet should care nothing about them. They are just fodder for the fires, right? But what does Jesus do? He cures her, showing that God's covenant is not just for the Jewish people. He says in John 4:22, salvation is from the Jews. But at the Last Supper, he's going to say this is the new and everlasting covenant, and all you have to do is believe. It no longer matters who your parents are, what tribe you belong to, your bloodlines. Your relationship, your saving relationship with God is dependent only upon one thing and one thing only, and that is faith in this man who is doing all of these miracles. Now, before we continue, a little geography lesson. Today's gospel says, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. Now, if I ever let Jesus Christ come hiking with me, I will never allow him to lead where we are going. And here's the reason why. They're in Tyre, and they go 40 miles north into Sidon. They want to get to the Decapolis, which is over here. They go 40 miles north, and then go 50 miles southeast. You know, I don't know, whatever the shortest angle, right, where that thing is, right? I'm like, Jesus, do some geometry here, buddy, you know? But what's going on here? Maybe there's a deeper reality going on here. It's about 90 miles. It would take weeks, months to do this journey. Maybe Jesus is giving the disciples some time to think. They've seen a lot. They've heard a lot. And now they need to come to a conclusion. They're walking with a man who rebukes demons. He cures lepers. He forgives sins, has authority over the Sabbath, stops storms, cures diseases, heals Gentile, and raises the dead. So what are these last two miracles then? Today's we hear that Jesus opens the ears of a deaf man so he can hear. A little bit later in the same gospel, in the same chapter, he will have a blind man see. What is it that we are to hear and to see? That Jesus Christ is not just another prophet. These miracles are not just parlor tricks. Jesus is saying, I have the authority. I can do these things on my own because I am a divine person. Jesus is asking disciples and us to open our eyes, to open our ears, to see the beauty, the wonder that God wants to give to us, knowing that our God loved us so much, he entered into our world. He took our nature upon himself and then offered his life up for the forgiveness of sins so that we can have eternal life. We just need to see this with our eyes and hear it with our ears.